Good morning. Welcome to House Committee on Higher Education, Innovation, and Workforce Development. We are here on Friday the 12th, and our only agenda item today is to hear an update on what's happening at OSU Cascades. Representative Bueller and Senator Knope might want to have a few opening comments if you guys want to join us, and then we have a panel from ranges from our illustrious president and others. Representative Wisdom, do you want to start? Or do you want to come in and then make your comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, honorable committee members. I encourage you to listen to the testimony today. I'm very proud to be a supporter of the OSU Cascade since 2003. It's been a long trail for the four-year program. It started out, as you know, as a two-year program. Senator Representative Knope at the time also was involved in that hard work to get it to keep it going. We've been really blessed in our new leadership of the OSU Cascade campus. Dr. Johnson has done a great job of working with OSU at Corvallis and the legislature and the community to move this project forward. It's needed. President Reyes testified in front of this committee, which I've served on, I think, Representative Johnson and I, since he was the beginning. I came in after that on this committee. But the need for the university in Central Oregon, that Ben will support it, the growth projection. Who wouldn't want to live in Central Oregon and get an education worthwhile? So I think I'm going to go to Ways and Means. I wouldn't appreciate the committee hearing this and the chair scheduling the informational meeting. I think it's very important, and we'll look forward to the support of this committee as the university moves forward. This is going to be our first freshman class you'll hear about, and we're moving on. So thank you. And I will be excused, if that's okay.
Sure. Thank you, Representative. Please. Representative Bueller, Senator Knope.
I usually defer to my senior senator, but for the record, my name is Representative Newt Bueller. I represent House District 54, which is most of the city of Bend, and actually where the location of OSU Cascades campus is. And for some of you who may not be following in detail what's happening in Bend, and for that matter, Central Oregon, it's an incredibly dynamic, growing, interesting place right now. And two of the people most responsible for that you're going to hear from, and that's Roger Lee, who runs EDCO, which is our economic development group in Central Oregon, and Becky Johnson, who is now the leader at OSU Cascades. And both of them have contributed significantly to what's happening in Central Oregon. It's one of the fastest growing counties, Deschutes County, right now in the whole country. Bend is routinely ranked as one of the top entrepreneurial cities in the nation. And when you go there now, you feel that enthusiasm, that energy, which unfortunately in many areas of Oregon outside the Portland metro area, you don't feel that dynamic state. And I think when you look at why that's occurred in Central Oregon, just a number of factors have come together to create that energy. You have a wonderful place to live, a high quality place to live, so that attracts talent and people. You have an entrepreneurial spirit that's developed there. You have an increasingly sophisticated venture capital community, so you access capital from around the country, increasingly from the Silicon Valley region. You have strong infrastructure. But the thing that we've lacked for a long time is a four-year university. And that's really the last key piece that's going to come into Central Oregon. And Central Oregon, for a long time, was one of the largest population centers a long distance from a four-year university. So now that as we bring that in there, it's just adding even more to the energy and the opportunity, and for that matter, the quality of life through the cultural opportunities. I originally was on the OSU Cascades Campus Advisory Board 4 or 5 years ago, and I've gone through a couple different leadership changes, and without hesitation, it's really been the work of Becky Johnson that's saved this campus, has built the campus, and generated the energy and the forward thinking. If it wasn't for her coming at a crucial time, I'm not sure we would even have a branch campus. So I encourage you to listen to her, ask her pointed questions about not only OSU Cascades, but her leadership and how she's been able to rally the community around this new concept. You may hear that, you know, there's been some controversy about the campus. There's never any doubt about the support for OSU Cascades campus in Central Oregon. Of course, the siting of the campus, sometimes, you know, that creates some controversy. I think that's past now, and everyone is rallying around the vision that Becky and others have developed. The location is a place where it's land that's not being utilized well. Okay, it's an old pumice mine and a county landfill, and there's some interesting plans to try to develop that so it's turned it from essentially a brown field to a green field associated with the campus. So with that, I'll turn it over to my senior colleague.
Thank you, Representative Buehler. Senator Knope, please.
Thank you, Chair Reed, and Vice Chair Gallegos, and Vice Chair Wisnat. Representative Wisnat's looking good this morning. My name is Tim Knope, State Senator, Senate District 27, which includes Bend, Redmond, Tumalo, and Sun River. And I join my colleague, Representative Buehler, today in support of OSU Cascades. And I think the main thing we want to bring to you today is that there's overwhelming community support for the campus. And Representative Buehler went through some of the issues of, you know, equity and fairness as it relates to access to a university. But the biggest thing that I've seen over the years, and I was there at the beginning, helped found it, helped fund it, when the late Representative Westland and Senator Clarno and Senator Bryant were all working on this issue, and at that time it was fledgling, and the community was supportive. But the legislature was concerned about this new entity, and the only concern I think that you should have now is how best can we utilize that university for the benefit of Oregonians. And what we see is that the majority of students currently are from Central and Eastern Oregon, have easier access to higher ed. And it's critical that we have the opportunity for university investment and access because of the economic development that it helps provide. Because if you can train your workforce locally, it gives you a whole new opportunity of economic development partners. And Roger Lee has done a great job in bringing people to Central Oregon. And so we now have a pretty vibrant high-tech community. And more companies are looking to come to Bend. And one of the biggest questions they ask after housing is, can we educate the workforce? And our answer today is a confident yes. And as the degree opportunities expand and the campus expands, you know, it's exciting, but at the same time, there's growing pains. And so, you know, whenever you go through a land use issue in your communities, I'm sure you understand that there's definitely some friction there. But we're trying to make sure that gets worked out at the local level and that the community has the input that they desire into how the campus expands, and the university has done what they can to try to make sure that there's input from the citizens of Bend. So they've had advisory committees, and they've had opportunities for community input all along the way. And I applaud the leadership of OSU Cascades for their efforts in that regard, and we have two amazing students that are here to testify today, and I think those are ultimately the real stars of the show, because they're the ones that can tell you their perception and what it means to them personally, and ultimately what it's going to mean to Central Oregon long term. There have been hundreds of jobs that have been created because of the university, and not just at the university, but because of its impact, and that will only increase and help stabilize Central Oregon's economy in the long term. And so we just want to relay to you that we would appreciate anything that you can do to further the cause of expanding higher ed in Central Oregon. And we all recognize that the goal of the former governor was to make sure that more kids graduate with degrees, and degrees that are of value, and the degree programs that OSU is pursuing are ones that are not only valuable but specific to industry that would be and could be in Central Oregon. And so it would be fun to be able to have the two students who are going to testify today be able to stay in the community and use their degrees in Central Oregon, because as I think a good representative Wisnat said, who wouldn't want to live in Central Oregon? And so we thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today, and we reserve all the hard questions for the people behind us. And with that, I will close.
Experienced legislators. Are there any non-hard questions for these two legislators? I'll note that as you were describing, as you were going through your testimony, Senator Knope, you were getting lots of nods behind you until you described the students as stars. That's when they stopped nodding. They're humble people, I suspect. Thank you, Representative McEwen, please.
Thank you, Chair Reed. I don't have a question. I just have a comment. My husband's in my first apartment after we were married many, many years ago, was above Shearshaw's Ski Shop.
Yeah.
And we have seen many changes in Bend since then. I have family that lives there and have for quite some time. And you're absolutely right. Why wouldn't you want to live in Bend? It's lovely. And I appreciate the work that you're doing on making sure that the kids that are over on the east side of the mountains have this wonderful option, and that you continue to grow the economy to the envy of the rest of us around the state. So thank you for the work that you're doing to make sure that this continues to move forward.
Thank you. Thank you both. We appreciate you being here. Madam President, if you want to join us, and we have a few more people than chairs, so we're going to hear from the stars and the students first. Great. As you're getting settled, I just want to say thank you. I happened to be in Central Oregon in the fall, and the President came out on a Sunday afternoon and arranged to open up the gate and gave me a very nice tour of the site. I'll happen to be there, so I appreciate your willingness to do that. I'm better informed for today's conversation as a result, and I'm glad you're here to enlighten the committee. Please.
Thank you. Chair Reed, Vice Chair Gallegos, and members of the committee, thank you very much for taking the time to let us speak to you today. I'm Becky Johnson, Vice President for OSU Cascades, and I also want to thank my colleagues who have spent 6 hours or will spend 6 hours total coming back here and over the mountain and taking the time to be here with you today.
Yes, thank you.
I'd like to just briefly lay out the goals, and then I'm going to turn it over to the students and our community members. But there's three takeaways that I hope you'll hear today. One is we are very grateful to the legislature for the funding that has already been allocated to OSU Cascades that allowed us to go from a 2+2 to a four-year university and to have our own campus. And I want to assure you that we've been very frugal with those dollars, and that we are making great progress, and that the students are having a wonderful experience. And then we'd also like to describe in a little more detail how Central Oregon is growing and changing, and that's going to require OSU Cascades to expand in the future. So of course we will be back with requests for capital in the future as we expand. And, I know that state resources are always scarce, and it was as we were just coming out of the recession that the legislature did fund the expansion of OSU Cascades. So I really do thank you for your foresight there. We have been able to leverage those resources. We've raised $5.5 million from private donors in Central Oregon, and nearly none of them are OSU Cascades alums, because our alums are still young. In fact, our largest donors are ducks to OSU Cascades, and it's just because they live in Central Oregon, they care about access to higher education. We combined those donor funds with the state funds. It allowed us to purchase two parcels for a total of 56 acres. That'll be enough space that we could expand to 5,000 students there. These are in the heart of Bend. We've also developed 10 of those acres with roads, parking, and infrastructure that are needed for the start of the campus. And we're building a 44,000-square-foot academic building that will include classrooms and offices, science labs, computer labs, and student space. And I can guarantee you that this will be the most efficient use of capital per student at any university in Oregon. Our faculty have agreed to 9x9 offices, and if you went and put a 9x9 on the floor, you'd see that's not very big. This was in an effort, again, to conserve space in the building. Our classroom utilization will be 85% compared to the usual 60% at most universities. We've increased the wall thickness, and we're triple glazing our windows, and we expect our building to be 50% more energy efficient than the typical U.S. classroom building. And our goal is to be net zero by 2025 across the entire campus. So when we're complete and at capacity, we're going to be serving almost 2,000 students with a single academic building, one residence hall, and one dining center. And for comparison, WSU Vancouver, who started about 10 years before us, has 3,300 students in 13 buildings. So we are definitely focused on the academics here. We have no student union, no rec center, no health center, no football stadium, no athletic fields. We are just laser focused on teaching and research. And despite the lack of those amenities, which we all know are important for students when they're choosing a university, our enrollment has continued to grow. And partly that's because of the growth of Central Oregon, but partly it's also the experience that students have. And we do offer a small school experience for students. And so I'm going to turn the microphone over now to the two students I have here today so they can tell you a little bit more about that student experience.
Thank you. One microphone's fine, and these are actually very sensitive microphones, so you don't have to be very close to them. They're perfectly fine, just where it is. That's perfect. And if you could start by introducing yourself, that'd be great, please.
All right. Chair Reed, Vice Chair Galejos. My name is Mackenzie Gillespie. I'm a senior at OSU Cascades in the Business Administration program. I was born and raised in Bend, Oregon, so I know very well how great of a place it is to live. In the years that I've lived there, it has grown from a small town with basically only like a Walmart and a Costco to what it is now. There's so many new businesses and entrepreneurs that have come and now call Bend home because it's an amazing place to live. And I believe that in the future, it's the outdoor activities that will keep people coming to Bend. And one of the biggest draws of OSU Cascades is how close it is to so many different outdoor activities. I started my education at COCC, which is the community college in Bend, because through the community of Bend, I was offered a full ride scholarship for my first 2 years there. After finishing my associates at COCC, I decided to transfer to OSU Cascades so I could keep my education local and go to Oregon State because I'm a lifelong Beavers fan. I've spent many Saturdays in Research Stadium cheering on the Beavers. So I was excited to be able to mix my education goals with Bend, Oregon. Through the help of the staff and faculty at OSU Cascades, I found my passion in the business world through the courses that have been offered through business administration. One professor in particular, Todd Montgomery, introduced me to data analyzing, which utilizes my love for math and data and puts it into a career that I could go forward with. I plan to spend my next term in Germany because I am part of the international program that's offered at OSU Cascades. And when I return, I hope to put my data skills to use in a data analyst job in one of the firms that are located in either Bend or the rest of the United States. Teachers at OSU Cascades really go above and beyond their call of duty and help serve the students and cultivate their talents and perfect their resumes, and they take time out of their day, and usually not in their offices, to meet with the students and really help them further their careers. I want to thank you again for letting us come and tell you why we love OSU Cascades and love Bend, Oregon. And I'll turn it over to Zach.
Thank you. Zach.
Chair Reed, Vice Chair Gallegos, and the rest of the committee, thank you for letting us testify in front of you today. My name is Zach Tay. I'm a current alum of OSU Cascades in the Energy Systems Engineering program. And currently, I'm a master's student in mechanical engineering doing research at the Energy Systems Lab on the OSU Cascades campus in Bend. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about my experience at both Corvallis and Cascades. But first, I kind of wanted to tell you a little bit of a history of how I got to Cascades and why I decided to stay there. I graduated from Cottage Grove High School, which is just 20 minutes south of Eugene. And I immediately started taking classes at Corvallis in electrical and computer engineering. And I just never really felt like I fit in there. I was kind of just a small piece in a larger system. And it just wasn't the right fit for me personally. I took classes there for 2 years and realized that I wasn't really, I didn't want to be an electrical engineer and I didn't want to be in Corvallis anymore. And so when I was applying for pro school, there was a drop-down list of all the different majors to choose from. And at that point, I was starting to become passionate about trying to reduce our carbon footprint in the United States and tackle the energy crisis that I saw emerging. And one of the major choices was energy systems engineering, and I'd never heard of it before. So I went home and looked it up, and it was only available at OSU Cascades in Bend. And so that night, I emailed the program lead, Dr. Robin Feuerbacher, and he set up a meeting with me the next day. And so I drove over and met with him, and as soon as I got into his office, it was this weird feeling. I mean, he was just excited about the industry. He wanted us to get into the industry, and he was excited that I had passion to be in that field. And I could tell that he was going to do whatever he could to help me get into that field. And I was a little bit suspicious because that wasn't my experience in Corvallis. And so I was kind of guarded. And then I met my now advisor, Dr. Chris Hagen, and it was the same feeling. And the more staff and faculty that I met at OSU Cascades, the more I realized that community, close-knit culture was sincere. And so I loved it, and I stayed. And then I got a job as an undergraduate researcher in the Energy Systems Lab on campus. And as a junior, I was able to work on a multi-million dollar Department of Energy funded project where we were trying to utilize natural gas as a transportation fuel. And it was great. It was going to reduce the carbon output of our transportation industry by 30%. At that time, save fuel costs by 66%. And we were really successful. Our funding agency, the director of our funding agency, came from Washington, D.C. to Bend to meet our team and see our technology. And so that was an amazing experience as an undergraduate. And we spun a company out with that technology, so I got to witness that. And I decided to stay on and do research as a graduate student. And so now as a master's student, I'm in a unique position because we're so isolated in Bend. I'm leading a $500,000 Department of Energy funded program to utilize the natural gas distribution network that we have to generate electricity at your home. And if we can do that, you don't have to ship it thousands of miles over power lines and waste some of it. And so if we can utilize the technology, it'll save $21 trillion nationally every year. And it will reduce our carbon output by 15 to 40% depending on where you live. As a PhD student next year, I'll be able to work on a chemical reactor. And basically, we're trying to displace these huge buildings that cost $200 million to build. And they take 10 years to build, and we're going to replace them with basically an engine out of your truck. And so we'll have higher throughput, higher conversion, and much less capital expense. And so as you can see, we're kind of broadening in the type of research that we're doing just since I've been at OSU Cascades. And in fact, the expansion is kind of the most exciting part of being at that university for me right now. So since when I got there, we had one graduate student and two undergrads. Now we have a visiting scholar from China, a professor, two postdocs, five graduate students, and we've had eight undergrads. So our lab's expanding. And one of the best things about that expansion is that our program's been able to hire an electrical engineer. The campus now has a computer science program, which is great because now instead of just having only mechanical engineers, if I have a question about an electrical generator, I can go ask the electrical engineer. If I have a question about a code that I'm writing, you know, I can go ask the computer science department. So we have these interdisciplinary teams that are really helping to spur innovation, at least in our lab, and that's really exciting to me. So I guess kind of just to summarize, it's it's honestly a close-knit community over there. And it's a sincere culture that I really think is going to expand on campus just because it's so instilled in everybody there that it draws in people that want to be a part of that small university feel while still expanding. We're truly doing world-class research, and it's exciting because we can solve problems that affect Central Oregon and Oregon as a whole, but we can also try and tackle problems that are on the national and global level. And we can do it from Central Oregon and spin off companies in Central Oregon and bring that economic development back to Oregon, which is amazing and something that I hope to do for the rest of my career. And I think one of the keys, at least for our lab and for the other labs on campus, is expanding into multidisciplinary teams so that we can really have different viewpoints on issues, different areas of expertise, and help stoke that innovation engine that we have in Central Oregon. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Great stories and very exciting. Questions? Representative Rudin, please.
Well, more of a comment. I'm sure. Excited to hear about your work. There's a couple of us here that are also on the Energy and Environment Committee, and so we think about things like, the intersection between higher ed and how do we solve our problems in energy, and how do we grow Oregon's economy, and especially Oregon's economy in Eastern Oregon. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you guys are getting a really good start on it. So really exciting to hear your presentation, and I hope that we can keep in touch.
Mm-hmm. So. Thanks. Other comments or questions? Representative McHugh, please.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick comment. Those of us who sit on the Transportation Committee also are very interested in the work that you are doing. This is just fascinating, and I also spent a number of years working in the area of access to higher ed and spent a great deal of time over east and down in the southern rural parts of Oregon working with students and staff at high schools trying to figure out a path forward for students who are coming out of our eastern more rural communities. And it's interesting to hear you from Cottage Grove have the same view that I heard from Treasure Valley and Ontario and Lakeview and Klamath Falls, of that interest in having a smaller campus environment, a comfort level with having that more intimate experience. So it's nice to have options in this state.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have options, and so a number of the things that you're doing are just fascinating. Thank you for your good work, and we wish you well with your career. So when you end up a PhD program, can you do that there as well, or are you going to have to go someplace else?
I'm going to do my research in Bend, so I'll be in Bend for 2.5 years, but I'll take my coursework in Corvallis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Representative Johnson, please.
Okay, we'll be here. I want to talk about the costs for students. Are cost per degree pathway less expensive at OSU Cascades than they would be at Corvallis? And if so, is part of that because of the, you used to have a lower cost basis for the campus, for one thing. You mentioned fewer amenities and so forth, which I think is fine. I mean, obviously you don't need provide what you don't need to provide, but as we talk about the cost growth within higher ed, it's really important to remember that our universities are expected to provide stuff for students now that they weren't 20s, mm-hmm. 30s, certainly 40 years mm-hmm. ago. So give us a general idea of costs per degree pathways and how that might compare and contrast, and is that an intentional part of your, let's just say, your marketing?
Chair Reed, Representative Johnson, our tuition is slightly lower than the tuition in Corvallis, and the reason is because our diploma is identical and our faculty have to meet the same standards as they meet in Corvallis, so they cost us the same amount as they cost in Corvallis. Students can obviously save a lot of money if they start at Central Oregon Community College and then transfer to us as juniors, and that pathway is available. That pathway will continue to be available. In terms of the operations of our campus up to this point, we have been leasing a building at Central Oregon Community College, which has made our cost of providing degrees more expensive than at other universities who have gotten capital from the state to build their campus. So as we get our own campus that is funded by private donations and state dollars, we will continue to get more and more efficient.
Perfect. Follow up?
Yes, please.
Tell me about your relationships with the K-12 world east of the Cascades. Are you actively out there marketing yourself as a real viable four-year opportunity, and if you have some dual accreditation relationships with any of those campuses out there in the Bend, Redmond, Lapine area?
Yeah, Representative Johnson, we have a very good relationship with our K-12 partners. I meet with all the superintendents from Central Oregon once a month with my dean of education. We do have a Master of Arts in Teaching, so we supply a lot of the student teachers to those schools as well, and they often get jobs there. In terms of dual credit, we have allowed COCC to offer the dual credit in Central Oregon, and perhaps as we grow, we'll get more into that market. But they've been doing that for some time, so we let them do the dual credit. It's all fully transferable to OSU Cascades, but have very good relationship with the K-12 system.
Thank you.
I would say that we've even worked with the Culver School District to make their entire district a STEM school. And so our Master of Arts in Teaching professor, who's in math and science teaching, got a grant with Culver School. And now all the way K through 12, they are focused on project-based learning around STEM. So it's been a great experience for them.
So I have a couple of questions, too. Were you seeking? Did you have a question? Okay. We'll come back. You mentioned the... I noticed PCC in the back of the room, and so I'm thinking about that. And you mentioned COCC, the relationship there. In general, how has the experience been for students at COCC who move forward? And you can answer this in your own experience, of course, Mackenzie. But is that smooth, or are people doing that easily and without difficulty?
Chair Reed, like Becky Johnson said, I was able to take classes through my high school that transferred to COCC, which put me at almost a sophomore standing when I was starting college. And when I chose to transfer from COCC, I had a list of all the Oregon schools that I was able to transfer my credits fully to. Okay. And once I chose OSU Cascades, it was as simple as applying to the school, and then my counselor took care of the rest. It was a super smooth transition. It was just like they are on the same campus right now, so it was like staying on the same campus. But even in the future, it's a super easy transition. You just contact the counselor at OSU Cascades, and then they email you right back, and they get everything set up for you. So it couldn't have been an easier transition for me.
Good to hear. Good. Representative McEwen, did you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Answered my question.
The other question I wanted to ask was, Zach, you mentioned the multidisciplinary teams, and clearly struck a chord up here because we have the same kind of issue in the legislature, different issues connecting with each other. So, Dr. Johnson, the question is sort of how, in my exposure to higher ed, that seems to be some of the most interesting stuff when different disciplines and fields collide. Are there lessons to be drawn from other campuses as they grow up? How do you keep that kind of culture and opportunity as you get bigger and departments get bigger? How does that work?
Chair Reed, that's a very difficult question. As you know, universities tend to be very siloed.
Yeah.
And so it's to our advantage right now that we have all been in a single building, we'll continue to be in a single building, and then you get natural interaction among faculty that you simply don't get as you grow. But we've talked a lot about how we want to grow in the future, and that perhaps we won't have disciplines all in the same location. So we might have problem-based locations instead. You know, so if the interest is in natural resources and the environment, it could be full of anthropologists and sociologists and foresters and range scientists all in the same place because they want to solve problems around a certain thing. So that's all part of our long-range development planning that we're doing right now, and we do hope to avoid silos, but I'm sure there will be some as we grow.
Good. Well, I want to keep learning and talking about that. Representative McEwen, please.
I do have a question. Thank you, Chair Reed. I pulled up the student budgets that were published for the year, and it lists the OSU Corvallis campus. I don't see you separated out. What actually is the differential between Cascades and the Corvallis campus? And because of the work that you're doing there, are you attracting students from out of state? How many non-resident students do you have?
We have, Representative McCown, we have very few non-resident students at this time because until this past fall we have been in the 2+2 format. And so students are very unlikely to travel from out of state to start at a community college. They'll start at a community college that's closer to home, and then they'll transfer to us. I'd say maybe 5% out-of-state students. But our freshman class this fall did have relatively more out-of-state students and definitely more out-of-region. About half of them came from outside Central Oregon and half came from within Central Oregon. But almost 80% of our students right now are from Central Oregon. I'm sorry, I forgot the first part of your question.
Oh, the differential. Yeah, in the tuition. You mentioned a differential. What actually is it?
It's very close. I think it's probably within $100 of the tuition.
It's not significant.
No, not at all.
And you expect that's going to increase as your own campus develops?
Representative Reed, the goal has been to try to keep our tuition similar to Corvallis because of the similar diploma, the identical diploma.
Yeah.
And same thing with our eCampus programs, that students actually pay more for their online programs than they do face-to-face in Corvallis. But the base tuition is the same.
Okay.
Experience is supposed to be the same because your diploma that you carry away is identical.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
And what is the capacity of your residential facility? How many kids can you, or how many young people can you house?
Representative McCown.
Okay. Everybody gets a pass.
Our residence hall will have 315 beds, I believe, and it's under construction right now.
And is how, may I follow?
Yeah, please.
I may assume that there's a constrained housing market in Bend as there are in other places in the state. So if you house that many, are there issues with providing apartments? Do you have issues with finding housing for students if your capacity is about, what, less than a third of what your population is?
We're going to ask both all the panelists in this question.
Where do you live?
Because so many of our students are from Central Oregon right now, I think a lot of them have housing, and so that we're not, it's the ones that are coming from outside of Central Oregon that we have to be able to be sure that we can accommodate them with student housing. And it is a very big problem. It's probably less than 1% vacancy rate in Bend right now, and our goal is to house at least 40% of our students on campus in the future, and maybe up to 60%, which is very, very high for a public university.
Thank you.
What do you think about the housing question?
Yeah, I would just add that it is a difficult housing situation, but I don't think it's any more difficult than Corvallis. Corvallis is kind of in the same situation, and I'm pretty sure they've been expanding rapidly in the last couple of years. So when I'm looking for housing in Corvallis, it's about the same issue for me as when I'm looking for housing in Bend.
And Mackenzie, you don't have that issue, do you?
Chair Reed, I actually haven't lived in my house once I graduated from high school because I did want to have that feel of going to a college while staying local. I spent the first year with my sister, but then she moved to Portland, and I was able to find an apartment with someone else going to OSU Cascades fairly easily. I would say you do have to be flexible with the area of Bend you want to live in. You might not be able to find one right on the west side because that's very popular, but there are options. It wasn't extremely difficult for me to find a place to live. Thank you.
Representative Rudin, please.
Thank you. Could you describe the population of students that you have now or expect to have in the future in terms of socioeconomics, racial diversity, ethnicities, and all of that? I'm just curious.
Representative Reardon, we have, as I said, about close to 80%, I think, of our students are from Central Oregon. I believe 16% of them come from underrepresented populations, and 35% of them are first generation in their families to go to school.
I think we may have exhausted the questions for the moment. So do you want to stay there and bring up your colleagues? And
I'd like to bring up.
Thank you, Mackenzie. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
We really appreciate your presence.
I think I'll just turn it right over to Roger since I know we're running a little short on time.
Okay.
Back to follow, please.
Co-Chair Lagos, thanks for having us here today. And members of the committee here, just going to have a few comments. I did provide a little handout, some graphs and charts, because I obviously have an economic development background. I'm the executive director for EDCO, which covers the Tri-County area of Crook, Deschutes, and Jefferson County.
And you did it almost exactly right. We have this strange tradition here. You have to introduce yourself, so you can add your name to it, please. We all know who you are, but those thousands on the internet who are watching may not know you.
Sure, and it's Roger Lee. I think I maybe got that in there. But certainly I think the stars of the show are Zach and Mackenzie and their stories. But other comments, I think, covered a lot of the ground I wanted to insert in there. But what you have before you is just a snapshot of what's going on. And it's really not even just on a statewide comparison basis, but, Bend is really at the top of the charts as far as a growing center of a growing region on a national basis. So, we're up there for GDP growth, we're up there for job growth, population growth, et cetera, all the kind of the main barometers of what's going on in the economy. You're seeing that happen here again. Obviously, we got hit down pretty hard in the recession, but have roared back from that, made up all the lost jobs. And I'd say the one critical component that will help us diversify further that has been missing in my 17-year tenure doing this work in Bend and the Tri-County area is a four-year university. So if you're a company coming in from outside the area, pretty much in that period of time up until recent years with the development of the campus and expanded curriculum, you're forced to try to go out and recruit from the outside, get someone to move to Central Oregon, and then take that job. And that's not always an easy prospect for our companies to try to do that. We've got some quality of life issues that help, but having a four-year university in our region, both for local students and other folks that want to be there to get their educations, is a huge component of and has been a missing component of the overall economic development strategy. And it's a reason that, EDCO in its 35-year history has really been probably working 30 of those years to see this realized in Bend. So I really appreciate your support over the years to make it happen. I know it wasn't always easy legislatively to make those allocations. But if you think about a place to, invest your personal funds where there's a high return, and you think about investing state resources where there's a high return, clearly this is an area that's going to continue to grow in the state, and it's going to be a larger portion of the state's GDP and job growth than perhaps any other part of the state as far as that investment. So, and I would just say that under Dr. Johnson's leadership, OSU is already, I think, setting a different precedent for higher education in the state, and that's very entrepreneurial. If you look at the roster of professors there, most of them have come from industry. Right out of industry, so their knowledge and their experience is very fresh, and I think that's super relevant for the students. I think you heard that in Zach's testimony with the energy engineering management program with Chris Hagen, and commercializing that right in the first couple of years of his tenure at the campus. So that's a big part, I think, of how OSU Cascades will distinguish itself among not just among Oregon higher education institutions, but I think even nationally. And I'd just say my last comment on that would say that Noon Today, I think, is a great example. I'll meet with a dozen CEOs of local software companies, and we'll talk. We'll be talking actually with Skip Newbury about a greater partnership with the Technology Association of Oregon, and so forth. But it's an example of a group that came together and worked with Becky's team to actually develop a computer science degree, and not just any kind of run-of-the-mill computer science degree, but one that actually met the needs of industry. And if you talk to software CEOs, that's not very easily achieved because it's changing so fast, and the things that were all in vogue 2 or 3 years ago are kind of passe and old technology today. So it's a really credit to her leadership and the folks that she's brought on and her team that is really responsive to industry. And I think at the end of the day, we'll have this kind of a graduation to jobs, to productive citizens, and for the state legislature, tax dollars and personal income taxes that we think is that virtuous cycle.
That's great. Thank you, sir. Mr. Newton.
Chair Reed, Vice Chair Gallegos, members of the committee, like others, thank you for inviting us to speak today. My name is Josh Newton. I'm an attorney with Carnot Peterson, a law firm in Bend. I'm also an OSU College of Forestry alum. When I have some prepared remarks, but actually I'm going to go off script for a moment. I know the woman sitting to my right is Becky Johnson, but today I hear Dr. Johnson and President Johnson and am reminded of what an accomplished person she is. But I think it's important for the chair and the members of the committee to know that in the community of Bend, she's known as Becky. And I think that's a testament to her willingness to involve herself at the community level and really make OSU part of Central Oregon, OSU Cascades. Becky asked me to speak today about my experience as a resident of Bend and as a practicing attorney and how I've seen the region change since I've been there and why I'm a supporter of OSU Cascades. So that's what I'm endeavoring to do. I practiced law in Bend since 2000. When I moved to Bend, I was 28 years old. Bend had a population of about 52,000 people. 1 year later, in September of 2001, an auspicious month, OSU Cascades opened its doors. And in the past 14-plus years, I, along with Bend and OSU Cascades, have seen much change. I'm now approaching the midpoint of my career. I'm now married with two boys, 10 and 8 years old. And in my professional life, I've experienced the housing boom and bust of the 2000s in Central Oregon. My firm and I are part of an evolving regional economy. You've heard that today from Roger, and you've heard it from others. When I started practicing in Bend, my observation was that Central Oregon was still trying to determine its post-timber economy economic model. Tourism was strong, but the region, including Bend, was still remote and largely off the radar. Nonetheless, entities like EDCO were hard at work at developing and establishing the vision for the future regional economic model. The housing boom and bust cycle was obviously difficult for our region. There are, however, some silver linings. In particular, the housing boom produced substantial infrastructure upgrades, including broadband infrastructure. From my perspective, broadband infrastructure is vital to the economic well-being of Central Oregon. Because of its geographic isolation and climate, I believe that broadband infrastructure is likely more important to Central Oregon than to Portland, the Willamette Valley, and perhaps Southern Oregon. Simply put, Highway 97 is not Interstate 5 and never will be. For Central Oregonians to get their goods to market, they need an information superhighway. But broadband infrastructure is not enough. In 2012, Thomas Friedman wrote about the tightening merger between globalization and the information technology revolution. After describing how widespread access to technology was empowering people into innovation ecosystems, he wrote, quote, "The best of these ecosystems will be cities and towns that combine a university, an educated populace, a dynamic business community, and the fastest broadband connections on Earth. These will be the job factories of the future." He goes on to say, "The countries that thrive will be those that build more of these towns and make possible high-performance knowledge exchange and generation." And that historians have noted that economic clusters have always required access to abundant strategic inputs for success. In the 1800s, it was access to abundant flowing water and raw materials. In the 1900s, it was abundant electricity and transportation. In the 2000s, it will be access to abundant bandwidth and abundant human intellectual capital, places like Silicon Valley, Austin, Boulder, Cambridge, and Ann Arbor.
And I
dare say Bend. As long as OSU Cascades is there to educate and train the human intellectual capital. I believe that Bend is already morphing into a mini Silicon Valley / Boulder while retaining its essential Oregon values. Bend's entrepreneurial ecosystem is stunning. Our firm retooled in 2013, launching two new practice initiatives, what we call ETIP and INRES. ETIP is our emerging business, technology, and intellectual property practice initiative that we developed with advice from Roger and his group. We also have INRES, which is our Natural Resource and Energy Strategies Practice Group, to better serve our region's evolving economy. The constant refrain, however, is the lack of a skilled workforce. Central Oregon needs OSU Cascades. Better yet, Oregon needs OSU Cascades. Now, admittedly, there have been some challenges to launching the new campus. In particular, the campus location is met with some opposition. I, however, support the campus location. My support is not based on my idiosyncratic, subjective belief about the campus location. Rather, my support is premised largely on the decision-making process undertaken by OSU Cascades. In my experience, good process leads to good results. OSU Cascades leadership, beginning with Dr. President Becky Johnson should be commended for their attention to process. To date, OSU Cascades' choice of campus has been vindicated by the courts. I expect OSU Cascades to continue to make good process choices. I recently participated in their long-range planning committee process as a community member. The process was open, inclusive, and focused on building a campus that sustainably fits into the culture of Bend and Central Oregon. I believe that it will succeed and become a model university for this century. OSU Cascades recently purchased the adjacent 46-acre former pumice mine and is considering acquiring the former county landfill site. Both are exciting options for infill and brownfield redevelopment, and Bend already has a track record in that regard. Our old mill district is located on the site of the former Brooks Scanlon sawmill. With proper planning, I expect the pumice mine and landfill will be successfully repurposed and well serve OSU Cascades, the community, the region, and the state. In closing, I encourage the legislature to continue supporting OSU Cascades into the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate particularly your reference to Friedman. I'm a fan of a lot of his writing, too. If you haven't encountered, there's another book called The Metropolitan Revolution, which is pretty similar that you might also enjoy. Bruce Katz from the Brookings Institution. Questions for this panel? So I feel like we missed out on one thing in this setting, which I'm saying mostly tongue-in-cheek, but usually when we have these kinds of hearings, the screen comes down, and there's slides, and there's pictures, and that sort of stuff. So can you fill in, lead us in our minds to what's this campus going to look like and feel like 10 years from now?
Of color commentary.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
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 Chair Reed, I encourage you to go to www.osucascades.edu, and if you click on campus expansion, you can actually watch our two webcams, which are on the construction site. You'll be able to see our buildings going up. But this campus is in the heart of Bend. It's within about a 10-minute walk of downtown, about a 5-minute walk to the old mill, and it's 2.5 miles to the COCC campus. So our goal was to have a campus that's integrated into the fabric of the community, because we want to get students out of cars. We want them to walk, we want them to take a bike, and we want them to take the bus. We've invested in transit in Central Oregon, help purchase additional buses and get more bus routes. Our students all have a free bus pass. Our faculty all have a free bus pass. We took our freshmen on a scavenger hunt on the bus when they arrived to get them familiar with what it's like to be on the bus. And so our goal is to have a campus that's very permeable for the community to come onto campus and for our students to come off of campus.
In terms of feel, maybe I asked that in the wrong way. Not so much the physical setting, but 10 years from now, what's the character that you hope to achieve size wise? I imagine there'll be more students from greater distances in other parts of Oregon and the region, that sort of stuff. If we were dropped into the middle of the campus 10 years from now, not just the physical piece, what's it going to feel like?
It will have a different demographic for sure, because with our we reflect Central Oregon's demographics right now, because that's the main place that our students come from. So we hope to have more diversity. We'd like to attract some international students. COCC just got reauthorized to accept international students. So up until now, we have had no pipeline of international students, and we'd like to attract students from other places in the United States as well. That adds to the diversity, of course, and we want our students to be very connected to industry and the community. I think about 2/3 of our students already participate in either an internship or a practicum or volunteer in an organization in our community, and that's very high again. In fact, we're talking about having a graduation requirement that every student will have to have one experiential component to their degree in order to graduate from OSU Cascades. We want to have an appreciation for the natural world because of where we are, and we think this campus will be a natural laboratory for a lot of our programs, and so I think students will get that type of experience as well. I don't know if you want to...
Yeah. What would you add to that? What you want to see
10 years from now.
Great question, Chair Reed. You know, in some of the handouts, there's actually a list of industries that might be surprising to you as far as who's actually doing business in our region. And already there's great programs that the OSU Cascades have developed around some of these industries, but there are still some areas for opportunity. You know, I think of the pharmaceutical industry that really has got a nexus there, perhaps more so anywhere else than in Oregon, around Bend Research and its spinoffs. And, you know, chemistry is obviously one of the things that we'd like to see happen in the next 10 years. A robust chemistry program that potentially even works collaboratively with the other universities in the state to help that pharmaceutical industry grow. That's some of our fastest growing companies right now are actually in pharmaceutical research, some of it fueled by acquisitions from Bend Research and some of its spinoffs just even the last couple of years. So I would look around each one of those around outdoor industry as well. And I know that Becky and your team are already working on some of that, but have real robust programs around where we have employers. And I would just echo what Becky said about interns. We had two interns at EDCO from OSU Cascades. One of them happened to be their distinguished student this past year. We brought on staff, our first time we've hired an intern, and we've had interns from all across the country over the years. And you know, that is a real a focus for them, and I think it's a focus for our region, is to get kids, young adults, engaged in work experiences so when they come out, they don't have just an academic education, but they have hands-on application of that, and makes them super employable. And we just absolutely, I think, have to have that to keep this economic engine and job growth going in Central Oregon.
And Chair Reed, I'll give a slightly different perspective from my work. I was on, so the long-range planning committee that I served on was the sustainability committee, and we spent quite a bit of time talking about what sustainability was beyond sort of the traditional notions of sustainability like net zero, but sustainability even culturally within the community itself. So if you were to fast forward 10 years, I would expect that the partnership or the lease arrangement that OSU Cascades is working on with Bend Science Station will be hopefully completed. And Bend Science Station is a local nonprofit that really provides science-based learning experiences for elementary school kids in the community. My kids do it. They will locate onto the campus. So I think what you will begin to see is when you ask, I forget which committee member asked about K through 12. I think my hope would be is on a daily basis you would see K through 12 students on the campus, perhaps at the Bend Science Station, working, getting educational experiences they wouldn't otherwise get if OSU Cascades wasn't there. I think another piece, when you talk about the permeability of the campus, the vision that I understand and that I support is that the campus is going to be open and accessible to everyone in the community. So there will be lifelong learning opportunities for people my age and people older, and there will be arts and cultural events that will be kind of a community center. My hope, when we were talking in the sustainability committee, and Becky wasn't there, but others were, was this personal issue. I'm not a real fan of binary choices, and I've heard the phrase town and gown before. My hope is that OSU Cascades does not have that. That when people think of Bend and OSU Cascades, they think of them interconnected as a single whole, and that OSU Cascades is Bend and Bend is OSU Cascades in 10 years.
Glad to hear that. I like that vision. Mm-hmm. So the obvious follow-up question, apart from funding, underline that. Apart from funding, which we all recognize, what would you point to as the one or two biggest challenges that the legislature ought to keep in mind to get to that vision?
Chair Reed, the legislature has a daunting task, I think, in terms of funding all of higher education and all of education in general. So I understand that there's always going to be scarce resources. I think that the challenges are around access to higher education, and again, that sometimes comes back to funding. The seamless transitions between community colleges and the university will become increasingly important now that we have Oregon Promise, and so we'll have more and more students starting at that community college. And we've done a good job because we're co-located, so we talk all the time with COCC, so I think we're at a little bit of an advantage there in terms of those seamless transitions. But ways to make college more affordable for students, and then to try to make sure that they have career choices, do a better job on career counseling and financial aid counseling so that they're not graduating with as much debt as they are right now.
Good. Else? Representative McEwen, please.
Thank you, Chair Reed. Yeah. I guess that begs a question for me. I'm delighted to hear that you have that wonderful relationship with COCC and that seamless transition is front and center in your mission. But we have a number of other more rural community colleges across the state, 14 or 15 of them. And I guess I would ask what kind of relationship you're building with them so those students who may be on those more rural campuses who are more interested in coming to a four-year university that has that closer, more rural feel. What are you doing to make sure that those relationships also are there and that those students could seamlessly transition as well?
Representative McEwen, this is one of our advantages of being part of OSU. OSU has dual degree agreements with all of the community colleges throughout the state. And so through that, we can work through the Corvallis main campus as well to take advantage of those connections. So students can enroll in any community college in the state concurrently with being enrolled at OSU. And what that does is allows for earlier information sharing about degree programs and, again, paying more attention to seamless transitions. So even though at OSU Cascades we work most closely with COCC, the larger OSU works with all of the community colleges across the state, and we do see a lot of students who are not comfortable crossing the mountains and going to one of the big schools, but they are very comfortable coming to OSU Cascades because of our size.
Thank you.
Representative Rudin, please.
I asked this question the other day and I wasn't able to get an answer. Maybe you can help me, but is there a uniform budget manual that so that all the universities are reporting in the same way or prepare their budgets in the same way, do you know? Or but
Representative Reardon, that's probably a question for Ben Cannon and the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. I honestly don't know. We certainly run our budgets through HEC, and so I'm guessing that they have
there probably
a
is. I'll check with you. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? We may have exhausted our questions. Representative Nierman, we don't want to close. give you your shot if you have anything you want. It's not a cold call. You can
actually. I do have one question. It just pops into my head that when you talk, and you're the one that actually kind of popped it into my head.
Uh-oh.
When you were talking about the 10-year vision or something for OSU Cascades. Do you have in the plan that someday you're going to be your own university? You'll be, I don't know, Central Oregon University or something like that. Or does that fit into that? Or are you just not looking out that far and just
Representative Nierman, I like. To say I hope that we will be the UCLA of Oregon State University in the future. So I see us being associated with Oregon State University, but growing into a campus that has its own identity. So just like in the University of California system, mm-hmm. you've got UCLA, you've got UC San Diego, you've got the main campus in Berkeley. I see us as growing to have that kind of independent identity, but we are still very much affiliated with the brand of Oregon State University and the land grant mission.
Good, thank you.
Thanks. Thank you for the great presentation and updates. I expect we will want to continue to have these conversations and hear from you as things progress. Particularly appreciate you leaving us with some things to chew on and continue to monitor. Really appreciate your efforts in general and your presence here today. Thank you very much.
Fine.
Thanks.
We'll bring pictures next time.
It wasn't a complaint. I think it actually was a nice departure because everybody relies on those too much.
But,
a field trip, as Victoria points out, might be good too. So we are not meeting on Monday, correct, Victoria?
Yay!
So we are going to meet on Wednesday. We'll have an informational hearing on the HEC strategic plan. You can ask your question again then, maybe Representative Reardon. There's a report that we asked the HEC to do, so they'll be giving us an update on that as well. Anything else for the committee, Representative Johnson?
Anything coming our way from the Senate that you're aware of?
There are a couple of bills that we expect might head our way. Senator Gelster's bill on confidentiality could potentially come to us. I don't know about that one yet. That is a possibility. A couple other ones we're not sure about. But, I hope we might get bill, so we'll see how it goes. If there's anything else, we'll adjourn. Thank you.
I have a message.
Anything else? We'll adjourn. Thank you.